Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
All right, time to hang out with Adam Teicher from ESPN, Chiefs Insider, presented by Twin Peaks. Step up your lunch game at Twin Peaks. Enjoy light yet hearty combos put together for you, available at an awesome price, featuring savory soups, crisp salads, and a variety of sandwiches to satisfy your every craving. Enjoy your next lunch break with Twin Peaks. Bringing Adam Teicher here into the show on this Tuesday. Adam, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
Good, Jason. How are you doing today?
I am doing just fine. A draft in the books. We've read about it, wrote about it, talked about it, discussed it. Now we get a chance to do that with you. What was your, general takeaway from the draft? We'll focus in maybe a little bit more on specific players, but your general takeaway from the draft and what the Chiefs were able to get accomplished with their seven selections.
Well, just speaking positionally, they accomplished maybe most of what we thought they would, right? They got a receiver early. They got an offensive lineman, a tackle early, and some developmental interior offensive lineman, a corner. So they kind of hit a lot of spots. The one spot that I was fairly sure they were going to draft and they didn't was a running back. Mm-hmm. I know they wanted one, but never felt like value lined up with where they were picking at the time. So they didn't do that. But other than that, I mean, I think positionally, it's about what you expected from them.
The focus being the offensive side. They took seven selections, five of them being on offense, and that is gone. That's going against the grain of what Brett Veach has done typically in his time as general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, this is the first four rounds of the draft in his time from 2019 to 2023. In the first four rounds, he took 13 defensive players and seven offensive players. This one was three offensive players and one defensive player. Now, it seems that Brett Veach has a specific focus sometimes on drafts, and maybe the board falls a certain way, and it's just been circumstantial that has ended up like that. But they've had to address their defense a number of years because the offense has been really good, so they've invested the draft picks in doing that. Now, the defense seems to be pretty good. They're now investing the draft picks on the offensive side. Is it as simplistic as that?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, plus this deep, you know, this draft is certainly in the first round was deeper in offensive players. So, you know, there's that. But you know, hey, this is not a surprise. We sort of knew going in. We've talked about it that they were going to. This was going to be an offensive draft for the Chiefs. They re-signed most of their defensive guys, and they. But they had some holes to fill on offense. So we knew where this was headed, and it was just a matter of how they filled it. And five of the seven on offense, three of the seven were offensive linemen. So obviously that's where they had the emphasis, no doubt.
Visiting with Adam Teicher. Adam, do the Chiefs have the best strength and conditioning coach in the league or staff, strength and conditioning staff in the league? I asked this question because they drafted Xavier Worthy. He's now grown 2 inches and put on 7 pounds, according to the Chiefs roster.
You know, and they did that without even seeing the guy. You know, I mean, it's amazing.
Best in the world.
Yep, there you go. It's that's why sometimes you got to take those things with a grain of salt, right? I always say that the Chiefs list a guy at whatever height and weight. It's not that that's what he is, because we don't. Those things are. There's some discrepancies in those sometimes, no doubt.
The weight thing, okay, I can understand, but he was 5'11 at the combine. You list him at 6'1. I can understand, like, 6 foot, you know, like maybe trying to get him up to that six, but then you make him 6'1. Now it's just like, come on, you're not 25 years old. You're looking for a fake ID to be 21.
Yeah, well, maybe he hit puberty late and it's a growth spurt, you know.
That's right. I just love that. So I was looking at the jersey numbers and everything and going through the roster. I'm like, Worthy, number one, 6'1", 171. It's great, you know. I mean, they are trying to make up for getting that low grade in the NFLPA. They are putting on weight with these guys very quickly. All right, what does he bring to the table? We know he brings speed, but why was it Xavier Worthy? Do you think that the Chiefs identified him and traded up four spots to get him at 28? And even Mike Borgonzi saying that they were even looking to trade up a little bit higher for Xavier Worthy. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, and you know, the Chiefs had their pick at 28, and even if they would have stayed at 32, they had their pick of several guys, you know, between Mitchell and Leggett and Pearsall, and am I forgetting somebody? They had a pick of one
Ladd
or two other guys. Yeah, him too. So, you know, the Chiefs had their guys, and this was clearly the guy they identified, and, you know, 4-2-1 can explain a lot of it, but, you know, he's not just a fast guy. You know, he can play football as well. So, you know, I think the expectations for him ought to be pretty high. You know, they talked about how he was a quick learner, and when he got to Texas, he was kind of an immediate producer. It didn't take him much time or any time to really become a productive player at Texas. And a smart guy, quick learner, you know, a history of producing early in his career, his college career, the need for the Chiefs. I mean, there's no reason that you know, he shouldn't unless he, you know, there's an injury or something, that he shouldn't be productive right off the bat.
Yeah, they talked about that with what he did his freshman year at Texas. There's a bigger leap from college to the pros, and especially with Andy Reid's offense. But I thought it was an interesting way of sort of describing what was one of the things that, you know, they get so in-depth, and there's about, you know, 25, 30 different keys and separators and things like that when you're talking about, you know, just the minutia and getting down into the finer points of, you know, why a player is graded at number 28 on your board or 29, right? And they mentioned his production his freshman year and showing that he was a quick learner. He adapted pretty quickly. I thought that was an interesting way of looking at it. I just viewed it as, look, he's been productive all 3 years in college. But that way of sort of describing it, I thought was interesting, that maybe it makes him more likely to adapt quicker, maybe not quickly, but quicker than some others, since he showed he can at least do that as, you know, an 18-year-old at Texas.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Andy Reid's offense is not a piece of cake for a rookie wide receiver, but, you know, he's had guys who have done well as rookies, you know, and, you know, Rashee Rice did, and, you know, Tyreek Hill did. No, he wasn't a complete wide receiver at that point. I mean, they did different things with him, but he still had a nice rookie year. And, you know, going back to his time in Philly, they had some guys who were productive as rookies. So I don't think it's going to be this huge mountain that he has to climb. I think it's reasonable to expect that he should be productive right off the bat.
The trade up for Xavier Worthy, in favor of it, you like it? Was it too rich? You think they could have stayed at 32 and got Xavier Worthy? What do you think of them moving up the four spots and you know, having the pick swap, which nets them a negative 38 later on in the draft of a pick selection number?
Yeah, to me, that's the key, you know, that it was a pick swap and not a pick loss. You know, hey, they had to drop down 33 or 38 spots, and yeah, you'd rather not do that, but I'd rather do that than give up a draft pick. And so the Chiefs wanted to keep their full complement of draft picks. They thought this was a year where that was important. They went in with 7 picks and came out with 7 picks. Now, a couple of them weren't where they were scheduled to pick because of these trades, but I'm always in favor. If you're that convicted in a guy, as they were in Worthy and also in Kingsley as well, then you know, I feel like it's worth it, particularly, again, since you're not giving up a draft pick. You're not your spot in the lottery is not quite what it was, but you're still giving yourself a shot at a good player. So I'm never against that. And obviously they were convicted in Worthy because, you know, as we talked about, there were several other receivers they could have picked from and could have sat at 32 and just waited for one of them to fall to them. But they didn't want to do that. They didn't feel like that was what they needed to do because this was their guy. So when they're that convicted, I like the move, yeah.
And it's, you know, hearing Mike Borgonzi say that, you know, they started looking at the 20s, you know, higher up of trying to trade up and get Xavier Worthy. And, you know, I discuss a lot of the unanswered prayers of 2016 when they wanted, reports are they wanted Paxton Lynch, and the Broncos traded ahead to take him, so they traded out and they end up with Chris Jones. And then next year they get Patrick Mahomes. So instead of Paxton Lynch, they got Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes. One hell of a trade.
So, yeah, Jason, how did that work out for him?
Unanswered prayers, Adam. Unanswered prayers. And this go around, if they were looking to trade up at like 23 or 24, you know, we did the math, and There's no pick swap with that, Adam. That's a you're giving up a third or a fourth. And so what we do know is sort of like we do the exercises beforehand of, okay, would you trade your first rounder and a third rounder to move him to get this guy? Oh, yeah, yeah, that sounds like a great deal. Okay, well, now we can put names to it. So essentially you're saying if you'd had to move up to 25 to get Xavier Worthy, you're giving up Wiley or Hicks. One of those two guys is not on your team to move up. And that's the tangible sort of part of the exercise that we don't have beforehand that we can do after and say, would it be worth it then? Well, we know it wouldn't have been worth it because they got him at 28. I don't know that they would have got him at 32, but it's sort of the unanswered prayers that whatever the cost was at pick 23, 24, 25, 26, the Chiefs didn't want to pay it, or the team didn't want to give that pick up. And instead, a pick swap, and they got a couple of guys. Like, that's really, when we talk about these trades, there are names next to them now. And whatever Jaden Hicks or you know, Wiley end up being, those are guys that, one of those guys may not be on this team if the Chiefs had their way and sort of got that deal and trade worked out to move up higher.
Yeah, and I feel somewhat the same way about Sua Mataia.
Yeah.
They thought they might lose him if they waited one more spot. So, hey, go get your guy. You know, I mean, if you feel that way, and I would have felt differently about that trade probably had they given up a draft pick, but they just dropped down. And so I'm okay with that deal given the situation there.
How much better, we know it is, but how much better is this wide receiver room from when they hit free agency, when the league year started, to adding Hollywood and adding Xavier Worthy now?
Well, I mean, at the very least, two of your top three are in that group that you just talked about. I mean, those two guys weren't on there, and let's see what happens with Rice. It could be that their top two guys are not in that group, or in that group. You know, those are their top two guys, so it's quite a bit better. I mean, I think talent wise, the Chiefs are in a pretty good spot. There's just a lot of unknowns. I mean, Hollywood Brown's a new guy, and Worthy's a rookie, and Rashee Rice has this legal situation hanging over him, and Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney are coming off of deeply disappointing seasons. So I just wonder, did the Chiefs do enough there? You know, do they need another veteran to sort of solidify this, at least through camp? And if everything works out for them, great, then you can cut the guy. But I'm wondering whether that's not a spot where they don't need somebody to just sort of stabilize a little bit, somebody they can count on if things go sour with too many of these other guys.
Yeah, it was right before we came on the air with you. Sterling had mentioned that he saw that Zay Jones was just released by the Jags, who had a great 2022. 2023, injured, missed a good portion of the season. When he was out there, he was putting up roughly the same numbers he did in 2022 when he had almost 900 yards and, 120 targets and 82 receptions. He was a nice target for Trevor Lawrence. He's still only 28 years old. Well, he's going to be 29. So he's not 30 yet. Not necessarily the age the Chiefs like to go the route of and bringing some players in. But, you know, when we're talking about veteran guys, I mean, that's sort of the pool you're going to be working in and the guys you're going to be bringing in. Because I don't think they'd be in the market of a 2 or 3 year deal, right? Of like a 3 year contract, like an MVS, but bring in somebody to compete and help out and figure out, you know, sort of, as you say, solidify. Or would you be looking at bring somebody in for a 3 year deal if that's what it takes to, you know, have this wide receiver group have four guys, a Rashee Rice, a Hollywood, Xavier Worthy, and whoever they sign, and then Hollywood moves on and you still have the guy they signed? How would you be approaching that if you're bringing in a veteran?
No, I'm talking about a guy who was on a 1 year deal and who might be accept. You know, I'd tell them, hey, listen, there might not be a huge role for you here, but there might be. And if there is, you're playing with Pat Mahomes and you're playing with Andy Reid and you might put up some pretty good numbers, and then you're back out on the free agent market again next year. You know, so, yeah, that's the way I would go. But, you know, we've heard Brett Veach talk about Hollywood Brown, and he's basically saying Hollywood Brown's going to be a one-year rental for us. You know, he said that in so many words. I mean, he thinks Brown's going to have a big year and basically price himself out of Kansas City next year. So the Chiefs may have to take another swing at this again next year, depending on what happens with Rashee Rice. So they may be in the wide receiver market again next year.
Yeah, visiting with Adam Teicher from ESPN, he has presented by Twin Peaks. Kingsley Suamataia, you mentioned him. You know, Brett Veach, the way that he sounded when he said we felt very fortunate and lucky that he was there. They sounded pretty surprised that he was there. And what do you think of this pick? And did you think there was a chance or an opportunity for the Chiefs to select Kingsley without having to move up into like the 50s to get him?
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to know. I mean, there seemed like there was a real split on about him. You know, the Chiefs were maybe more thought higher of him than a lot of teams did. But you never know. It only takes one, right? And you know, I do know as the second round was moving on toward the end, the Chiefs felt pretty good that either he or one of the other guys that they found value on at the end of the second round were going to be available for them. But those guys started going in the few picks before the Chiefs started picking. And, you know, Ennis Rakestraw was one of them. And there was another offensive lineman, I think, went to pick before the Chiefs picked. So, you know, then they were like, okay, we better get our guy now or we're going to be in no man's land here. We need to make a move so we can get our guy here. And so, that's the other thing. You know, we talk about these trades up. I mean, if your board is going to be empty when you pick, I mean, if you just don't like anybody there, you know, that's another reason to move up. And I think that's a little bit about what you were seeing there with the Chiefs with Kingsley, was that they felt like if they didn't get him, then they were going to really be in no man's land, that they wouldn't have anybody to pick with that, anybody of value to take with that choice.
The incumbent, for lack of a better term, because Donovan Smith is not on this team, would be Wanya Morris. How do you sort of gauge this battle between Wanya Morris, who was a third rounder and got some playing time, and the Chiefs know what the deficiencies are? He knows where he needs to improve on and the different areas there. But also, Kingsley's a guy that, you know, according to Brett Veach, if they traded back from the first round, they might have grabbed Kingsley. He was one of the guys they were considering at 32. Maybe one of eight guys they were considering. He was number eight, but he was at least one of the guys they were considering. So there's at least a higher view of Kingsley than there was of Wanya Morris. But Wanya Morris being the quote-unquote incumbent, how would you sort of measure up this battle? And is it an expectation that Wanya starting week number one, or Kingsley have a real shot to beat him out and be the starting left tackle his first game in the NFL?
Yeah, I would go with the leader in the clubhouse right now. I'm going to go with what we know right now, and that would be Wanya Morris. You know, I think he's going to have to make a leap from where he was last year, but you know, he can do that. And I just don't know that Suamataia is ready yet for what he's going to face on opening day. You know, it's not to say he couldn't get there by opening day, but I just wonder a little bit about that. So I think the Chiefs would go with more with the known quantity there, and that's Wanya Morris. So I'll say he's going to win that job, but there's plenty of time for that to change.
What did you make of Brett Veach's comments on Donovan Smith and whether or not they would bring him in? And it certainly seems like that is not the plan right now.
Yeah, and the wide receivers as well. You know, he thinks they're maybe in good shape at those spots, and that's those are interesting takes. You know, as far as Donovan Smith, you know, maybe the Chiefs at this point have a better left tackle on their roster, whether it's Suamataia or Wanya Morris, and it might be either of those guys at this point. So, but it was an interesting take. Not to say they might not see something in camp or something that sends them scurrying for a left tackle, but right now, yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Is it a message, too, that they're ready just simply to find somebody and not have the revolving door? And if you bring in Donovan Smith, does that, you know, limit or lower or slow down the process of development for one of these guys, a Wanya Morris or a Kingsley? And it is just simply, we got to find this guy, and next year going into the draft needing a left tackle, or the year after that needing a left tackle, let's figure out who our left tackle is. It's Wanya Morris or Kingsley Suamataia. We're going to coach him up. We're going to develop him, and he's going to be there for the next 3 years if it's Wanya, or next 4 years if it's Kingsley, and not bringing in a Donovan Smith, and then next year needing to figure out who the one-year veteran is, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, you'd like to know who your left tackle is for the next 10 years, but you're also trying to win a Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. So, hey, I can't believe the Chiefs would go into a season with either Wanya Morris or Suamataia if they thought they couldn't win a Super Bowl with those guys. I mean, they would run for the nearest left tackle, veteran left tackle, if they thought he was an upgrade. So, yeah, I mean, I think in a perfect world, you'd love for one of these young guys to be your starter. There's the cost angle to it as well, you know, that they're not making much money. So, yeah, that would be your ideal situation. But if you're trying to win a Super Bowl and you think in your own mind that neither of these guys are going to be ready in time for the start of the season, you've got to do something, because you have to take care of that spot. Mm-hmm. It's an important spot on the field.
Yeah, and so we'll see. They're going into OTAs. They're letting these guys battle it out, and I would say hopefully they don't have to sign Donovan Smith. If they sign Donovan Smith, I think that's a rough sign from what they're getting from Kingsley or Wanya. Or, I mean, I guess it would be a rough sign because if there's injury too, then that would be unfortunate as well. So hopefully they get into camp, they get into the first game of the season, and Donovan Smith is not needed on this team. We'll see if that's the case. Adam Teicher, presented by Twin Peaks. He's from ESPN Chiefs Insider. We'll take a timeout. We'll get into some of the other draft picks for the Chiefs. Also look at and talk with Adam about Clark Hunt's comments over the weekend about the stadium renovation deal that was turned down and what the next steps are for them. And jersey numbers. Man, they are getting convoluted. We'll take a timeout and more so next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, hanging out with Adam Teicher. He's presented by Twin Peaks from ESPN. Chiefs Insider. All right, Adam, let's talk about some of the other draft picks. Jared Wiley, the tight end from TCU, they drafted, and they've drafted a couple of tight ends since, Travis Kelce, Noah Gray being one of them. And Jared Wiley, a very, very big-bodied guy, 6'6", you know, 250, a red zone threat. He said that's how he makes his money, is in the red zone. So what do you make of this pick, to where they've now got four tight ends in that room that all of them have some sort of receiving chops and an ability to run some routes, which is a little bit different when they got down to tight end number three last year?
Yeah, it was. And you know, of all the guys, the Chiefs are having a rookie camp this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So all these draft picks, among others, will be out there. And I think of all the guys, the one I want to get a good look at this weekend is Jared Wiley, just to see how they use him, what he's got, you know, what kind of abilities he has, maybe help them maybe get downfield a little bit. Can he do a little bit of what Kelce does, or is he more of an inline type tight end? So I'm kind of curious to see what they have planned for Jared Wiley this year and how he fits into that tight end group, because you know, now it looks like they've got their four, and you know, we know how much Andy Reid likes his multiple tight end formations. So kind of curious to see what they have there in him.
These jersey numbers, I feel like, are getting a little out of control, Adam. 6'7" or 6'6", 250, Jared Wiley's wearing number 12.
Well, he looks like Mecole Hardman to me.
I mean, Mecole Hardman and Garrett Dieter. Which one? Which is that? Is that Garrett? Is that Mecole out there? You know, I have some of these theories that I throw out there that you typically dismiss and say you're trying to do too much there, Jason. Which is fine. It's part of the fun. But here's my theory on this. He chose number 12 while 81, 86, 88, 89 were all available for him to choose. So, you know, it's not like he wore like number 5 in college, but he chose number 12. I think number 12 is because he doesn't want to just be viewed as a blocking tight end. That this guy's a really good blocker and he's so big. Da, da, da. No, I'm wearing number 12 because I can go and catch passes. I'm an overall tight end, not just a blocker. I can be a receiving threat too. There's my theory. What do you think, Adam?
Well, I think he doesn't want to be known as Tony Gonzalez when he comes to Kansas City either, or Buck Buchanan if he comes to Kansas City.
Well, if he wears number 88, I mean, Jody Fortson, you don't want to live in the footsteps of Jody Fort season. You make a lot of people mad.
How silly of me to think of that as the Chiefs number 88. Yeah.
Who else wore 88? I don't know what you're talking about. Or 89. I'm not sure who. Keith Cash. Yeah. What are we talking about here?
There you go.
Yeah, but number 12 is just that's going to take some getting used to. That'll take some getting used to.
I kind of like this. I always like watching college games, and you've got a defensive lineman who's number 6 or something. Like I always kind of liked, enjoyed that part of it. So It's like seeing a baseball pitcher. You know, they don't all have to be in the 50s. You know, they can you can have single digits out there. That's all right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll see. Jaden Hicks, it sounded like that wasn't necessarily a spot that the Chiefs were going when Brett Veach talked about that. It was like, well, look, man, the value, we've got safeties. We might have been looking elsewhere, but damn, this guy shouldn't have been there again. You know, we took Wiley and then another pick goes and he's still there, sort of like flashing red light. We've got all these guys. We got the vertical, we got the horizontal, and it's just Jaden Hicks. And, you know, the value is too great. And I think that's part of, like, you know, could they have reached on somebody else and passed on this guy? Maybe. But when you've got really good football players, there's nothing wrong with bringing in more good football players.
No, and they'll find a role for him,
yeah.
You know, and I don't know how much that'll be on defense this year, maybe some, but maybe not. But even if it's just special teams, you know, I feel like there'll be a role for him down the road, you know. So, I don't have any problem with picking good players. You know, I mean, I've always been more about players than positions. And in the fourth round, this looks like a pretty good player to find. And, you know, we know what the Chiefs have done with fourth-round defensive backs between Legarius Sneed and Josh Williams and Shamari Connor. I mean, they've done a pretty good job finding guys in that round those positions. So, you know, maybe this is another one.
And they also, I mean, this is the last year for Justin Reed. So, you know, you go into next year and you'd have Brian Cook in his final year of a contract. You'd have Shamari Connor going into year number three and, you know, Jaden Hicks going into year number two. So you'd still have those three safeties.
Yeah, and hopefully he'd be ready to go
for
a big role then. So he may be, it very well could be a starter next year or in 25.
They draft two offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen, late in the draft, and Allegretti's name was invoked by Brett Veach when he was talking about Norzad. They go into this offseason, and it's sort of like Caliendo and then who. Is this a you're adding depth, and that's typically what you're doing in the third day, or you're bringing in a couple of guys that if things don't work out negotiation-wise with Creed or Trey Smith, that you at least have a couple of options?
Oh, I think it's both. I mean, you know, this year they may serve a role as particularly Norzad as a guy who can, you know, maybe the first guy off the bench at those interior positions. But who knows? I mean, one or both of these guys could be starters in 2025, depending on how it works out with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. And, you know, Joe Tooney's getting pretty expensive as well. So it's a good bet at least one of those guys, and maybe two of them in 25 aren't with the Chiefs. So, I mean, they're starting to get ready for the day when all of those guys aren't around.
I was a little surprised that a couple of things that – they didn't draft a running back this go-around, and they didn't, you know, maybe throw some numbers or more than one wide receiver drafted. And maybe that's just how the board, you know, lined up. Is like, well, we were looking to draft a running back, but each time we were up, it just didn't make sense. Maybe there was a running back they were going to take, but Jaden Hicks shouldn't have been there. And they're like, look, man, we could take a running back, but this guy shouldn't be here at this spot, so let's take him. Did you think that, you know, running back was going to be somebody out of these seven picks? If they took seven picks, even if they moved around, but they still had seven picks, that running back wasn't selected. That was a surprise to me.
Yes, I fully expected them to draft a running back, and they fully expected to draft one as well. And, you know, that's maybe the most likely spot for them to bring in a veteran at this point, I think. I mean, you've got, you know, what do you have? You've got Isaiah Pacheco, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then what? You know, you got to. I know the Chiefs signed a couple guys after the draft. Are they, you know, capable of being at least a third guy and maybe more than that? I mean, the Chiefs have, you know, they've needed that depth at running back pretty much every year for the last several years. You know, when was the last one of their featured backs to make it through a year with no injuries? You know, Pacheco missed what, a couple games last year. You know, so he got close to a full season, but before that, I think it was, you have to go back to Kareem Hunt's rookie year. So it's been a while since they've had, you know, a full season from a guy. And, So I think that's a real need for them. I think that at this point might be bigger than any of those other positions we talked about, including wide receiver, although I think they'd be well off to go grab a guy there. But to me, that's a spot that really needs some help. And so, yeah, I was surprised they didn't get somebody there. And they fully intended to, just the value never met the place where they were picking.
Well, and you and I have talked about this before. Like, I've long wanted the Chiefs to get some speed there in the backfield if they're running some outside zones. It just feels like it takes so long for Clyde or Pacheco to get to the outside. And Imani Bailey, who they signed as an undrafted free agent, he is what he is. He's an undrafted free agent. But he looks more explosive on tape than his athletic testing, because his athletic testing was terrible for his size. But he looks explosive on film. And it's like, well, this is what this guy brings. He's got a quick step. He's lightning quick through the hole. Like, well, okay, if that's the case, then great. I hope that's what happens. But, you know, the Legion of Zoom that the Chiefs had when they had Tyreek and Sammy and McColl, they also had Damian Williams as a running back that can, you know, break a 90-yarder and had that speed that was there. And they don't have that aspect of it right now. And McKinnon doesn't have it. And McKinnon's time is done in Kansas City anyway. Once Xavier Worthy held up the number one, like, all right, well, he's got Jerick McKinnon's jersey. McKinnon ain't coming back for sure.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if you thought the door was open a little bit, it's closed now. So, but I don't know. I would like them to find some speed somewhere. And maybe this isn't the year. Maybe it's a deeper. I mean, it's supposed to be a deeper running back draft next year. So maybe this is the one that puts some, you know, some patchwork there on the running back, and then next year. You know, it'll be year number four going into with Isaiah Pacheco. So at that point, maybe a deeper running back draft, they address it a little bit higher next year.
Yeah, well, Carson Steele is kind of the running back, the free agent running back that I have my eye on. I mean, he's not the speed guy that you're talking about.
A lot
there,
of people have their eye on him, Adam.
Hair.
Yeah.
Well, I think in football terms, that's another guy I want to get a look at this week, mm-hmm. see what he looks like, because you know, that's another guy who I think may end up making the team out of that group.
Interesting. All right, a couple of quick ones here. Clark Hunt, what did you make of his comments on the vote being turned down and all options being open? What did you take away from hearing Clark Hunt's press conference?
Yeah, not surprising that they're going to separate from the Royals and each team's going to go their own way after the way this one went. Maybe that's not a real surprise or shouldn't be. I still think the Chiefs are going to end up in a renovated Arrowhead Stadium. That's my sense. You know, maybe they'll get such a good deal from, you know, somewhere on the Kansas side or whatever, and they'll change their mind on that. But I still think they'll end up in a renovated Arrowhead. Now, what that deal might look like, I don't know at this point, but I still feel like they have some things in that stadium that they can't get if they build new. So everything being equal, I think that's where they'll stay.
Is it? Are they talked about the rolling roof back in the 2000-aughts when they renovated. Is it capable of having of adding that to Arrowhead to where you could enclose it and you could at least be viewed at as a chance for a Final Four, a chance for a Super Bowl, you know, things like that, as opposed to just renovating and you go about the status quo moving forward?
Well, I think the correct me if I'm wrong, but the rolling roof was never intended to bring basketball games and things like that in. I think the rolling roof was just sort of keep the elements out.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that was more of just a plain roof than in. You've probably never been to the stadium in L.A., that SoFi Stadium, but that there's a sort of a roof over that, but it's kind of open at the end. So and when it's raining and the wind's blowing, which happened with the Chiefs game one year, there's water blowing onto the field. I mean, so I'm thinking that's kind of how it was more with the Chiefs with that rolling roof. Mm. So I don't know that would really – a rolling roof would really handle what – you and maybe you and some other people would like to see in terms of Kansas City getting the Final Four and some other big events. Mm-hmm. I don't know that's going to be enough for them to do it. I think if they built a dome, they would get – that Kansas City would get a Super Bowl one time, like Indianapolis has and other places have. But I think that would probably be it.
Yeah. All right, last one for you, Travis Kelce. It was announced as a two-year extension, but it's really just a reworking of the final 2 years of his contract. He's now the highest-paid tight end in the next couple of years. So what do you make of the fact that it's a reworking of these 2 years? Are we looking at the final 2 years for Travis Kelce in a Chiefs uniform?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the Chiefs, Brett Veach kind of talked that way, and Travis Kelce sort of even acknowledged that maybe these 2 years might be it for him. But we'll see. Yeah. I mean, it's you don't want to be making decisions about 2 years from now, but I would expect that, But I expect he's going to go out with giving it everything he's got, no doubt about that.
Yep. Adam Teicher from ESPN, presented by Twin Peaks. Adam, you're the man. Appreciate it as always, brother. We'll see what these guys look like this weekend with the rookies in town, and we will talk next week. Thank you, sir.
All right, Jason. Talk to you then.
Absolutely. There's Adam Teicher from ESPN, Chiefs Insider. He is presented by Twin Peaks. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, continue rolling. More Zone right after this. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. We'll talk with Les Norman, Breaking the Norm, coming up in the noon hour. So I asked Adam Teicher that the last question was about Travis Kelce signing his contract, not an extension. It was reported as a two-year extension, which was great to hear at the time. Of, you know, he's got 2 years left on his contract. You just signed a two-year extension? Hell yeah.
I was like, he really is talking about to the wheels fall off.
Man,
huh?
Yes, to the roof caves in, to the wheels fall off. Till his legs stop working. But no, it was just a reworked on his 2 years left on his deal. Travis Kelce, yesterday, after signing that contract, on social media, sending a message to the fans with his new reworked contract.
Back at it again, baby. Woo! I just see a little Super Bowl right there, man. Feels good to be in KC. I remember coming here 12 years ago, man. It's an honor and a pleasure. And I can't wait to get after it these next 2 years, but no better than right now. Getting fired up for this year. Just got out on the field with the boys. Doggone, we're back at it, baby. Chiefs forever.
Can't wait to get at it, get after it these next 2 years. I asked Adam Teicher these last 2 years of Travis Kelce that we're watching. I thought that this year that he would play towards the end of his contract. I didn't buy into the... I think Travis Kelce is going to retire at the end of this year. Yeah. Like, people were just, like, looking for stuff, man. Andy Reid is going to retire. It's on the radar. Chiefs, you know, it's on the Chiefs' radar that Travis Kelce will retire one day. It's not on my radar, but apparently it's on the Chiefs' radar that Travis Kelce may retire one day. To rework the deal to make him the highest-paid tight end in the NFL, they didn't add any years to it. They just simply gave him more money and worked around it, and here's money over the next 2 years. We've now guaranteed this year's cash at $17 million. You're going to get the most cash this year of a tight end, and next year it's going to be fully vested early March, so your 17 and a quarter next year is going to be guaranteed. So you're now making 34 and a quarter over the next 2 years of your contract, these last 2 years of the deal, guaranteed slash invested, guaranteed, and all of that stuff. The cap hit and all of that, it's still listed as 14.4 or 15.46 for his cap hit. It was listed at Spotrac before the deal as 15.46, and it's still listed that. So I don't know if they just haven't looked at what the cap hit will be, or it hasn't been released by the Chiefs of how that will break down of these next 2 years, backload it, whatever. But I think it's another indication that we're at least watching what is in Kelce's mind and maybe the Chiefs' plans the last 2 years of Travis Kelce. I don't know that Jared Wiley plays into that in any way, shape, or form of, hey, you know what? Kelce's got two more years. Let's draft Jared Wiley in the fourth round so that he will be in his third year in the NFL when Travis Kelce may be done playing. Because I don't know for a fact that we're watching the last 2 years of Travis Kelce. What I do believe is that Travis Kelce and the Chiefs right now believe we are going to be watching the last 2 years of Travis Kelce. But the Eagles also thought 2022 was the last year for Jason Kelce.
Sure.
And I wonder, when it gets time to making that ultimate decision, you are never going to be playing football ever again. That's difficult. Even with Jason Kelce, who had a documentary crew around him the final year to make the movie about what it's like for an NFL All-Pro who's been around for a long time, calling it quits and transitioning into life without football. Even with that, he said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to return from. I'm not ready to hang it up. I need one more year at least. And then he hung it up. And even when he did, it felt like it was just tearing away at him, you know, to hang it up. So I do believe Travis Kelce and the Chiefs believe these are the last 2 years for Kelce. I'm not fully convinced it is. Because at the end of 2025, going into February of 2026, is Kelce willing to stand up there on that podium and give that speech that he's walking away from football?
So he's going to be 35 this year.
Yep.
Right? And then 36.
So he'll be a 37-year-old playing if he plays plays a year after that. He'll be 37 years old.
Yes.
Yep. It's difficult, right? But it's a decision at that point. What does your body have left? What do you want your body to have left in 15 years? In 20 years?
Sure.
He's probably thinking about kids at some point. Maybe by that time, you know, maybe in 2 years he might be married with a child on the way or something like that, you know? Who knows what? This time last year, we didn't think he'd be in a serious, you know, relationship in the most famous relationship in the world right now.
Someone caught Kelce.
It's about
finally.
Caught Kelce. That's right. That's right. And then he's got songs written about him, right? So I want to look at what the cap hit's going to be, how much money they move around, and how much they save, because Zay Jones is now out there. I don't know how much Zay Jones will go for. If the price is right, sign me up for some Zay Jones. I think he was really good with the Jags until he had the injury last year.
Sure.
Hopefully it's not something that's going to be staying around and is going to be more of a long-term deal, more arthritic than acute. You know, hopefully it's not something like that, but I'd bring him in. At the right price, I'd bring him in to this wide receiving core because he's better than Sky Moore, and he's better than Kadarius Toney, and he'd be your fourth receiver. With Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and Zay Jones.
Or Justin Watson, depending on how the Chiefs view it.
Like I said, he'd be your fourth receiver. On this team, I know they love themselves from Justin Watson, but the whole Justin Watson knows where he's supposed to be, I can only get down with that so long.
Sure.
When the wide receiving core was as bad as it was last year, Justin Watson's out there because he knows where he's supposed to be, and it's part of the offense. Him running that route is a part of opening up Kelce or opening up Rashee Rice or opening up MBS to go drop the football. Like, there are things that he did on a football field that helped this team win games. Okay, great. But you have to get better than that as your third or fourth wide receiver. They're already better than that as their top three with Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown. But how much cap space do you have moving things around? And, you know, how much cap space would you lose if you're looking at signing Zay Jones? Because they're looking at, like, it's $20 million that they have to play with right now. But then they'll be signing their draft picks, which is going to be roughly about $5 million or so for their draft picks.
I think you're looking at about a $4 million contract.
Okay.
That's about where I'm at. He had an original three-year, $24 million contract with Jacksonville. With the Raiders, it was one for $2.5 million. But he also signed that one with the Jags when he was coming off his age 26 season. I don't see – that was also the boom of wide receiver market, right?
Yeah.
It's not looking like that right now. If you sign in for one for four, I think – we're probably in business.
Yeah, I'd definitely be down with that going into the training camp and not thinking Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney have to be on this team.